All right, good evening. As the kids begin to file out here, we give them a minute. Yeah, all the little blessings. When the little saints go marching out, yeah. But how's everybody doing? You guys doing good tonight?
Amen.
It's a great day. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. You know, and I hope you had a great one today. And if you didn't, hey, there's still time. There's still time. But tonight I just want to spend a little bit of time looking through a set of scriptures that I've been kind of looking at. I've been, you know, really just trying to take chunks of the scripture out and just dig into it as much as possible, because there's so much awesome things in the Bible if you'll take the time to read it, if you'll take the time to look at it and to study it. And there's, you know, thousands of different translations. I'll tell you right now, I love the King James, but you know what? If you can't understand it, get you a good one. Okay? Don't, because that's one of the big dogmas of the church. If it's not King James, that's of the devil. Well, I'm telling you right now, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. There's a lot of good translations that'll bring out a lot of really great things in the Bible. Now that's, you know, I'll get off my soapbox on that one. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but just a little bonus. But specifically, I want to look at tonight a set of verses in 1 Timothy, the very first chapter. So we're looking at 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12. We're going to look through at 12 through 17 when all tonight. Now this, when we're picking up these scriptures, it's good to know what's going on. So what's going on here is Paul is writing to Timothy, his disciple, his son in the Lord, and he's giving him some instructions. He's telling him what to do and to help him. And he starts off this letter to Timothy, and he says these words. He says, in verse 12, it says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He has considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him." Okay, let's break that down. Let's look at that. He's saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving me strength to do what? To do his work. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me strength to carry on, to go through about my day. And he says, he considers me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. So he's looking at it and he's saying, look, God is trusting me. He's trusting you. He's trusting us to do his work. And he's appointed us to what? To serve him, to follow after him. And I love this. In verse 13 it says, all of these things, he's considered me trustworthy, he's appointed me to serve him, even though, get those words, even though God is trusting him to do things, even though he's done what? Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. Even though in my insolence I persecuted his people. For those that don't know, Paul used to be named Saul, and his whole goal in life was to kill Christians and to persecute them and to literally hunt them down like dogs and kill them. But now he's realizing what's going on, and he's saying, thank you, God, for showing me the light, even though I've done these things. Even though. That's the thing to get out of here. Even though he's done all these things. And that translates to our life also. Even though. When you start looking at your life, you look at those words. Even though. When you start thinking about all the things you've done wrong, even though that, God still loves me. God still cares for me. He considers me still trustworthy to serve him. He trusts us and he loves us, even though the things that we've done. Even though. It says he was a blasphemer. He killed and persecuted people. He was eager to do the wrong things. But it says, picks up in verse 13, it says, but God had mercy on me. Even though I did all this stuff, God still had mercy. It's just like now, just like you. Even though God still has mercy. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. What he's saying there, I'm an idiot and I didn't know any better. See, the worst kind of person is an idiot that doesn't know that they're an idiot. You ever met those people? Are you family with any of them? Yeah, I got a couple. The worst type of idiot is ones that don't know that they're an idiot. And Paul is recognizing, hey, I was dumb. I actively did the wrong thing. But even all of that, God still had mercy. God still showed up and he loved me. Even though. That's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. It goes on in verse 14 and says, oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with faith and he filled me with faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. What he's saying there, he goes, he's exchanging the junk that was his life for faith and love through Christ. That's an awesome trade. That is an amazing trade that he got. He was able to give up all of the junk and crap of his life, and God exchanged it for faith and love. It's the greatest exchange that we get, you know. In the King James, it talks about the words that it used there in verse 14. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. So there was an exceeding abundance. He changed the junk of his life for exceeding abundance of what? Faith and love. Exceeding abundance means more than you could ever think about. More than you could ever hope. For God loves you. See, in Romans 5 and 20, it says these words. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. See, Romans 5:20 says that. Put that up there, boys, so people can see this. Romans 5:20. That's the thing. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. You can't out-sin God's love for you. That's what that's saying. You haven't gone far enough that God can't still love you. You haven't gone too far down the road. You haven't messed up too much for God's wonderful grace. Because no matter how much you think you've done wrong, God loves you even more. God loves you more than that. All right, let's look back at 1 Timothy chapter 1, picking up in verse 15. Paul says these words. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. It's a trustworthy saying. What he's saying there is put your trust in what I'm about to tell you. Okay? Put all you've got into this because it's worthy of accepting that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Came to save sinners. Christ Jesus, his whole purpose, his whole point was to come into the world and save sinners. See, that's the mission of the church also, is to save people. Point people to Jesus. But look what he says. This is the true statement that you should accept. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Paul says, I've done all this stuff. He came to save sinners, and I'm the worst one. He came to save me. He came to save me. He came to save you. See, he's recognizing that he's unworthy of God. He's recognizing he didn't deserve the love that God gave him. And see, when you look and compare yourself to God, it's easy to feel unworthy. You ever had that? Maybe I'm the only one. You're sitting at home, and you begin to think about your life and reflect. You begin to think about all the stuff. You begin to think, God, you can't love me. God, why do you love me? I've done this. And you begin to list things. I've done that. I've done this and I've done that. See, when you're in that moment, what happens? Satan can capitalize on that. Because if he can get you thinking about all of the wrong things that you've done, he's got you. What are you going to do? See, what he does, and sometimes we help him. We go and we grab the plunger. What does a plunger do? It brings up old crap. I'm going to say that for the people in the back. What does a plunger do? It brings up old crap. See? It brings up old crap. Sometimes we're helping Satan. We're plunging it. Oh, this is what I did. You remember back in 1987? What I did, Lord? And you start thinking about it. Ooh. Okay, what if you ain't that old? You remember what I did in 2007? Woo! I don't even, oh, Jesus. You're still plunging. Still plunging. And see, the more you plunge, the more you bring up the old crap, the more unworthy you're going to feel. And the more unworthy you become in your own mind, the less effective you are for Christ. The less power that you have in Christ. You know, when you begin to say, who am I, Lord? I'm not worthy. Yeah, you're correct. You're not worthy. But Jesus loves you anyway. But even so. Whew, that's some powerful stuff right there. See? When you begin to say, God doesn't love me because. Remember, it's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who he is. Stop bringing up old crap. Because when you start thinking about it, see, even Paul went through this. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, he said the words, let me find it real quick. 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. See, Paul wasn't even immune to this stuff. But you know what? He had a bigger answer. He remembers Romans 8 and 35. What are those words? Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says these words. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Get that. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Does he love us less if we go through stuff? No. He loves us more. He loves us more. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 37, it says, no. Despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries of tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. Get that. Somebody needs to hear those words tonight. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or what you're going through now. God still loves you. His grace is abundant. His love is abundant. No matter what, he loves you even more. And if he can save, if he can save someone like me, if he can save someone like Paul, he can save someone like you. He can love you. So put the plunger down. Put the plunger down. That's the point of all of this. is resist the temptation. Whether you're doing it yourself or whether Satan's in your ear. When you begin to have that temptation to pull out that plunger, go to your Bible. Romans 8:35. What can separate me? What can keep me? Nothing. Nothing can keep me from God. Nothing. Now, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. After 15, he says, this is a trustworthy saying. Christ came to the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Verse 16, it says, but God. I love that. But God. But God what? But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience even with the worst sinners. He's saying, he loves me. Even me. After all that I've done, if he loves me for all that I've done, how much more is he going to love you? Have you killed anybody, Miss Mary? No. He loves you. Paul killed people and he still loved him. You didn't kill anybody. He loves you too. How can you not love Miss Mary? I mean, come on. But see, verse 16 says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. See, when you're tempted to bring up the old stuff and say, well, God doesn't love me because of that, guess what? All those things that you went through, all the things that you feel bad about, he can use those for an example for other people. See, the greatest testimony, the greatest witness that you can have is a life changed. When you can give someone share the hope that you have inside of you with someone else. You can say, I've been through the valley, but God was there. See? Then others will realize that they too can believe and receive. It's our mission, to be a light into a dark world. You know, we talked about that. That's our mission for our church, is to equip people to be a light in a darkened world. Take the darkness that you used to have in you, turn it to light, and shine it out for other people. Because you know what? We don't want to go to heaven by ourselves. I want to have as many people there as possible. How am I going to do that? Be a light. Be a light. And guess what? Put the plunger down. It doesn't matter what's happened, brother. It doesn't matter. Yesterday is yesterday for a reason. I don't care. And you know who really doesn't care? Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've been through. He loves you anyway. And he exchanges all of that junk for love, for peace, for faith. It's the best trade that we can ever have. It's the best trade. You will always, always, always come out on the better side of that deal, right? Now, so after all of that, he sums up in verse 17, and he says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the King eternal, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. See, after all of that, after all of what he's talking about, and saying, look, I'm not worthy. He makes me worthy. He breaks out into love for God. He says, all honor and glory to God forever. See, he answers the question of, who am I? I'm not worthy. He's saying, I'm not defined by my past any longer. I'm not defined. Who I was is not who I am now. Who am I? 1 Corinthians, we're going to end off with this. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 9, Paul said the words, "For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way that I persecuted God's church." But in verse 10, he says, "But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me." In the King James Version, it says these words, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which is bestowed upon me, is not in vain."
Hallelujah.
It's not in vain. The great work that God is calling us to do, the work, the love he's giving us, is not in vain. It's for a reason. And what's that reason? To show his love. To not keep it within us. See, Paul's life is summed up in the words of this song. It's a casting crown song. It says, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus."
Hallelujah.
That sums up Paul's life. That should sum up our lives. In all of this, doesn't matter. We're just nobody trying to tell somebody about the hope that we're supposed to have inside of us. Doesn't matter where you've been, who you are, and what you think disqualifies you. See, that's the takeaway. I want you to remember these words. When you're feeling bad about yourself, put the plunger down. Put the plunger down. See, you're not going to walk into a... I want you to, every time that you walk into a bathroom and you see a plunger, think those words, Sam. Think, put the plunger down. I'm so much more than where I've been. God loves me anyway. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for each and every person here. We ask that you would sear these words into our hearts and to remind us that even when we're unworthy, that we're not worthy, but you love us anyway, and we don't have to keep dragging up the past. Help us to remember those words. Help us to be a light for you. And bring us back to a love for you that is the same love that you have for us, abundance. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go forth, do good works.